And, you know, we talked about that, and I, you know, it's always a struggle for me on that. And, you know, we say, I'm gonna eat right starting Monday. Thank God that every week has a Monday, right? You know, and you say, man, I'm going to eat right starting Monday. And so, you know, Monday morning you get up and you have your little, you know, your little shake with your alfalfa sprouts and your, you know, whatever you throw in those things, you blend it up and you drink it down and you're like, yes, I'm off to a good start. And so you begin this process then of having to make right choices. And you see all these, you know, these things in front of you that you could eat that you know is not good for you. And you find yourself, man, your stomach's just rumbling all the time. And, you know, you're like, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I can, how much longer I can do this. But I know if I choose the right thing, what I want most and the things rather than now be better. And you just kind of go through it and you're struggling and you just don't know what you're going to do. And you got this thing here that you really want to eat and that thing that you know you should eat. And you're back and forth, you know, and you're just having this terrible time having this discipline. And then lunch gets there and you have to choose. You didn't get that, did you? The struggle from breakfast to lunch and how bad it is if you, never mind. If I got to explain it, it wasn't that funny anyway. All right, so anyway, that's how I live it. I don't know about you, but man, I might do breakfast good, but by lunchtime, it's a whole nother ball game. So anyway, I'll just bury that one. Hey, good. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor. It's good to have you here with us. They start that over. Anyway, all right, so here's the deal. So we try to have discipline, but we find ourselves being very inconsistent with our choices and our jokes. We find ourselves just totally being inconsistent. And we're like, what in the world's going on with this? You know, but the thing of it is that we see the scriptures and we realize that we're not the only ones that struggled with being inconsistent in the things and the disciplines that we know that God wants us to have in our lives to be all that he wants us to be. We find out that the Apostle Paul wrote about that. He wrote to the church in Rome, and he wrote to those Christians trying to help them to be able to understand that. And beginning in Romans chapter 7, some scripture there that really brings this to light of this struggle of why are we so inconsistent with our disciplines. He writes this. He says, I don't really understand myself. Man, what a start. I don't know about you, but I totally relate to that. Just on the whole, I don't understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Can I get a witness? You know, I mean, we know what we want to do, but we don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway, right? I mean, isn't that just how we live our lives? If you could just sum that up, that's just us in a nutshell so often. I could sum up about every time that somebody sits down in my office and says, Ron, I need to talk to you, there it is. They want to do what's right, but they can't do it. And they see it there, and they know what it is. They know exactly what they need to do. They just are having an extremely hard time in doing it. We know what a good marriage looks like, right? We know what it should be to have a good marriage, but how often do we do it? We just don't do the things that we know we need to do. Paul really talks about this. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. You know, it's a whole thing of back to the whole diet thing. You know, I want to eat an apple. But donuts look so much better in that round shape than an apple, right? If I want something round, man, I want it to have some good sugar in it and some glaze on top. You know, that's the problem. We know what we want to do, but we don't do it. We know the right thing, but we end up doing the wrong thing. He says this in verse 20. He says, but if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is a sin living in me that does it. See, we're not so bad after all, right? It's just that sin thing that we got. The thing that lives inside of us, the sin nature that makes us up, that we all struggle with, it's there. And Paul makes us sure that we understand that, listen, there is something to do right, there is something there, and so we need to understand that we're not very self-disciplined people. Just period. We're not. By nature, we are sin natured. Our sin nature takes us and always wants to pull us in the opposite direction of where God wants us to be. And it's there, always pulling against us. It lures us away from God and tempts us to do what's wrong. So listen to verse 24. He says, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" I love verse 35 or 25 here. Thank God. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you. God, you have given us an answer to this problem that every single one of us struggles with. There's no one in the room, whether you're on a stage or in a chair, whether you're wearing shoes or flip-flops, whether you're wearing shorts or long pants, whether you're wearing a suit and tie or you're wearing, you know, a t-shirt. All of us struggle with this sin nature. It makes up all of us. We all are born with it, and it tends to want to pull us always away from God and the good things that he wants for us. The issue is that it's not impossible to overcome it. We just can't do it ourselves. And that's where so many of us get hung up. We're trying to do it in our own strength. We're trying to do it ourselves, and the reality is that you can't do it yourself. Stop it. You're going to hurt yourself way more if you keep trying to do it yourself. The reality is that the scripture here, Paul tells us who it is that can help us. There's not a section in any library that can help you overcome these things. Sure, there are some things that God can use, and there's some thoughts and some ideas, and there are things there. But listen, those things, they don't come, you don't have the power to use them the way that you need to overcome it. And so maybe for some of us in the room, we're thinking, dude, you are just busting my bubble. You're just bringing me down. I thought I was going to come be encouraged today. I thought you were going to come tell me how I can beat all of this stuff that's beating me. I am. I'm just telling you that it's not you. You can't find it in you. And so the reality is we need to understand that there is someone that can do this for you. And his name is Jesus. He's the one that can. He's the one that helps you overcome them temptation. He's the one who helps you walk away from sin. He's the one who helps you be consistent. He's the one who helps you make right choices. He says, who can free me? Some of us today don't feel free. We haven't felt free for a long time. Some of us maybe have never felt freedom. That there's something that seems to have a hold on us. And I'm not just talking about by the hand. I'm talking about it's got us in a chokehold. You know, it's got us wrapped up and choking the life out of us. And the reality is that we can't get loose ourselves, but the Bible says that Jesus can free us. Oh, wait a minute. The Bible says that Jesus can free us. Thank you. That half of you got it. The reality is that there is an answer to it. Thank God there's an answer. Thank God I don't have to be stuck watching pornography all the time anymore. Thank God I don't have to be stuck drinking and can't figure out how to get home. Thank God I don't have to worry about any of those things holding on to me as long as I let Christ hold on to me. And I let him be the one who makes decisions for me. I don't have to worry about those things, and you don't either if you allow yourself to be guided by him. See, the Christ in me is stronger than the wrong disciplines in me. The Christ in me is stronger than the bad decisions in me. The bad putting myself places I don't need to be. He's stronger than that. And we come and I can understand that he is that. I can't be a self-disciplined person. I've got to be a spirit-disciplined person. I've got to let him live in me and guide me and show me how it is to live my life. Some of you have been trying for years to get yourself free from all kinds of stuff. And you've read books and books and books. Nothing wrong with books. You need to read. You need to educate yourself, and you need to listen for what God has to say in there. But listen, you're not going to find it in the book. You're going to find it in Him. You're never going to be self-disciplined enough to get yourself out of a life that's bent always towards sin. But the hope is that you can know the one who helps you do that, who pulls you straight out of it. How do we do that? Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth, gives us a great analogy to figure out how to do it. You see, he was writing here, and we're going to read some scripture in a second, but he was writing about a race. Now, I just kind of look out here. It's probably been a long time since some of us ran in this place. All right? I'm just being honest. We ain't run in a while. So for some of us, we're like, oh, this ain't going to apply to me because I can't run. You know, I can't even run to the refrigerator anymore. I just got to walk. Keep trying to train the dog to do it, but he ain't getting so good at it. You know, that's the way we live. But the reality is that when we get this race and we get the cultural meaning of it and we begin to pull this apart and then put ourselves in it, man, you're going to want to run. You're going to want to run this race. And here's what he says, and as he's writing to them, he's writing about some races that they participated in. To the people there in Rome, they would have got the whole idea of running races and about the whole the game and the competitiveness of a race. They had races and games that took place there, and we know that the Olympics, you know, originally came out of that and everything else, but they would have understood there was training that took place, that there was an opportunity to run a race that would mean something, that if they could run and win this race, the races that were going on at this time, they would represent their community. It was about pride. It was about being able to understand that there was an achievement that happened from training and seeing what would come out of it. And so speaking into this culture, he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. He says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." Listen, you got to understand that a race, there's first place and there's first loser, and it goes on back from there. Right? That's, racing is rubbing, and if you ain't winning the race, you're just rubbing back there, and it's not so good. The reality is this is that was a NASCAR reference. Didn't anybody get that? Gosh, I was, man, today is like one of them days. Should have took y'all with me this week because I'm ready to go. Here's the thing. We run this race, and they understood that this training camp, this 10-month training camp that they would have to go through to run in this race was a big deal. And that's where they would get they eat right, they would, run to get better, to get faster. Everything, all their training was wrapped up into one thing, and that was winning the race. To run as if they were going to win. And so he would tell them to run to win. Verse 25, "All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize." All athletes are disciplined, and they're going to run. They're going to run to win. You ever seen somebody train to come in second or third or fourth or fifth? No. That's the idea. Everybody wants to go. There's no running for the bronze or they run for the gold. And that's how we should live our lives, running for the gold. They're disciplined in their training. They would be chosen to go into this, and they would give everything they had to train to win. And that's how us as believers in Christ, that's how we should focus in. We should be training to win. People come and they say, "Ron, man, I can't. I keep making these bad decisions. I keep finding myself in the same place." I'm like, "So tell me what you're reading, Bible-wise." "Well, I'm not reading anything right now." "So tell me who you're accountable to. Who's asking you the hard questions about life and asking you if you're doing the right things?" "Well, I don't have anybody like that." Well, "So tell me what you prayed for." "Well, I prayed. I asked God to fix it for me." "When was the last, have you thanked him for it?" "No, I just asked him to fix it." Listen, That's not the kind of training that's ever going to help us to be overcomers of the things that are in our lives. Listen, there is no hope in that. If we want hope in our lives, listen, we've got to understand that there's training that's got to take place. And it's not that you spend 8 hours a day in your Bible. You can spend 5 minutes in it and get more out of it that God could use to shape you the way he wants to do than all day. We just got to get disciplined enough to do it and find ourselves a place that we can plug in and see it happen. They were so into this race. When they would run, these runners, the Roman cult, they would understand that these runners, they would strip off their clothes to run. They would get rid of everything that would slow them down and hold them back. Hebrews 12:1 says that to us. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Some of us are wondering why we keep getting tripped up, and it's because we've never stripped off the sin that keeps tripping us. We keep tripping over it every time, and we just don't realize we just got to get it out of our lives. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. These guys would put they take off everything to be able to run as fast as they could. They'd get everything out of the way so they could run just as fast. Now, I don't know about you, but I think about a race full of a bunch of naked guys. I'm going to do everything I can to be in the front. Because I ain't watching number four's butt jiggle up and down all that. I'm just not going to do it. You know? That's just where I'm at. Maybe you know, I don't know. But anyway. So I'm going to run as hard as I can. And we need to be able to strip everything off in our lives that doesn't benefit and glorify God. Doesn't mean we become Bible thumpers. Doesn't mean that we got to be, you know, just Jesus guy. It just means that we get all the junk out of the way. That we don't fill our heads with stuff that doesn't lift us up, that doesn't lift him up, that doesn't glorify him. That means that we get rid of people sometimes in our lives that are holding us down and pulling us down, that are influencing us the wrong way. Doesn't mean we don't love them anymore. Doesn't mean that we're judging them. We just know that they're just not good for us. And listen, if you feel bad about that, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to do that sometimes. If you're going to follow Christ the way that we're called to, you're going to have to drop your nets and walk away sometimes. Love them. Pray for them. Most of all, be a good example for them. But you just can't let them influence you. That's free. I won't charge you for that part. But you got to do it. So he says, let's strip it off. Let's run. Let's go. Verse 25 says that there is there's a prize. And it's not an earthly prize. You know what these guys were running these races for? Having to look at a bunch of naked dudes running with them or whatever? They were doing all of that, training all 10 months, eating right, doing all that, to get a little wreath around their head. That's what it was all about. And for us, we need to understand that the prize we have before us is a life bent and made and lived out exactly like Christ created us to live. That there's joy, and there's peace, and there's patience, and there's kindness, and there's goodness, and gentleness, and self-control. All of those things are the prizes that we get when we live with the Spirit in charge of our lives, living it out for Him. I don't know about you, but I like that list. And I like it way more than a wreath of, you know, wrapped around my head. I don't know, just some really cool stuff. And that's the prize that we get. I love the fact that our prize is eternal, that it means that I get to spend the rest of my life, which I'm not talking about my earthly life. I'm talking about the life that I get to live in Christ, eternal life in His presence, worshiping Him, not having to worry about no pain, no tears, no mourning, no sadness. The prize is eternal. It's life with Him. We're living for an eternal glory. And so we need to understand that our desire and everything that we is not to be self-disciplined, but to be Spirit-disciplined. To desire the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us when we begin a relationship with Christ, when we understand the fact that Jesus came to die for us, to give his life on a cross, to pay the price for our sin, for the sin of all of us. The price for our sin. He died on that cross, giving everything for it. He paid the price. He was taken off the cross, put into a tomb, and on the third day, God raised him with all the love and all the power that he has so that you and I could not only be forgiven of our sin, but that we could have eternal life with him. He did that for you and me, and so when we accept that for us, when we acknowledge it and confess our sins, it says the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And so now we don't have to rely on us to discipline ourselves. It says we can rely on him to discipline us, to show us the way to do what it is that he desires for us to do. We just have to train ourselves to be able to listen and to follow the things that the Spirit leads us in. So there's training that needs to take place. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26 says this, "So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing." Listen, that's pretty cool stuff. That means that there's not an imaginary enemy that we fight against. That there is truly, there is a spirit, there is an enemy that we fight against at all times, who wants to see us be more focused on self than on spirit, who wants us to be more focused on what we can do rather than what God can do in us. And so we're not just, when we do what we do, we can't just do it half-heartedly. We just can't go out there and say, you know what, I'm gonna go to church on Sunday, and I'm not gonna cuss, and I'm not gonna hang out with people that do. And then I'm after that, I'm all good. No, listen, that's not gonna cut it. You see, you're trying to earn something out of that. The reality is, we don't need to worry about the list of things that we can't do. We need to worry about the list of things we can do. See, we're so focused in the church, and people outside of the church have been hearing for so long all the things we can't do if you're a Christian, all the things that you're not supposed to do, and there's this list of things. And you know what? Forget the list of things you can't do. Pick up your Bible and find out the things that you can do. Those are the things that are going to bring you joy. Those are the things that are going to bring you the happiness, if you want to use that word, that you're looking for. That are going to bring you the fulfillment of everything that you were created to do. We can't just keep thinking that there's this list. As long as I check off these things and I don't do any of them, that I'm good. That's not it. There's way more cool stuff we get to do than stuff we don't get to do. And as soon as we get that in our heads, I'm telling you, there'll be a change in the church, which will create a change in our community, which will change our world, y'all. Do y'all just not believe me? I mean, you think I'm just saying that for the cool part of it. I don't know. I'm saying that because it's the truth. The Bible is very clear of all the things that we get to do. So let's quit worrying about that list and quit worrying about the things, if I go to church, man, they're going to expect me not to do this. They're going to expect me not to do this, that, and Pastor Ron, he won't come over to my house if I got this in my refrigerator. I'll come over to your house anyway. I may not share them with you, but that's up to you. I'm not you. I'm not coming to judge you because of whatever you may or may not do. I'm coming. I want to see what you can do. I want to see how you can live for Jesus. My role as your pastor is to equip you to do the work. And so I'm coming to, I want to help you be able to do, not don't do. I'll let the Holy Spirit handle that part. That's not my role. And so we come and we need to be disciplined. We need to train ourselves so that we are able to do to be who we're supposed to be, not just focus on those do things. And don't do. Do what you know he's called you to do. Verse 27 says, "I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what I should." See, there it is. Do what you should. It's about doing, not about don't doing, not doing. Whatever, that you get it. We need to be focused in on it. And I'm choosing what I want most over what I want now. Listen, there's a lot of things I want now. There is. If you ask me, what do you want right now? I could tell you a lot of things I want right now. But if you ask me what I want most, a lot of the things that I want now, man, they don't even fit into the categories. The things I want most, man, I want to see people sold out for Jesus. I want to see people come in and say, Ron, man, you know what? I was talking to this guy at work, and he started asking me about going to church, and I said, church isn't that important, but you know why I go to church? Because I have a relationship with Jesus. And so I got to tell him all about why I have a relationship with Jesus and why that's important. And guess what? He got a relationship with Jesus too. You know what? That's what I want most. I want to share with other people too about why I have a relationship, and I want to see them accept it. I want to see people get pumped up about Jesus and quit worrying about, the color of the walls or carpet, and quit worrying about, whether we got gravel or asphalt. I want to see people get excited because somebody's going to come here today and hear the good news of Jesus and accept it and be changed for all of eternity. I know this is a little preachy. I get that. I'm ready to preach, y'all. Because, listen, sometimes, just talking about it don't cut it. We need to understand that this is way bigger than just us. It's way bigger than what makes me feel good. It's way bigger than what makes me happy. It's way more than just what the average day is like for really all of us. It's about Jesus. And the fact that he loved you and me and those people you're going to interact with all week long enough to give himself for them. Listen, some of you got jobs where you deal with difficult people. I get that. It's hard to deal with difficult people. I share the road with them sometimes, and man, it's really hard to deal with them, right? So I get that. But you know what, man? He's been dealing with me this week so bad about the fact that he loves them as much as he loves me. That those nails in his hands were as much for them as it was for me. You begin to start looking at people that way and see if that doesn't just rock your world. Some of you deal with people at their most difficult place, hospitals and police and everything else, and I can't imagine what it's like sometimes to have to just look at somebody and see them as God's creation. I know that's difficult. But the reality is they are just as much as you are, as much as I am. And so we got to love them that way. Doesn't mean we got to like it. We don't got to like them. We don't got to like the way they live, but we certainly have to love them. I told you this week that, over the series, that the word that God gave me was lead. And out of that came, the thought out of the scripture that it gave me was that I have to really love people, I have to really hate what's wrong, and I got to be patient. Oh my gosh, that word just had to come in there. Patient and prayerful and hospitable at all times. That if I'm going to be the pastor and the father and the husband that God's called me to be, I've got to do it. I've got to love people, really love them. That's hard sometimes. Got to really love them. And I got to really hate what's wrong, which means that I got to live my life differently. I got to get wrong stuff out of my life that may be there. Then I got to be patient, and I got to pray, and I got to be hospitable at all times, which means be nice. Man. Y'all are laughing. I hope that's on your list too. I'm just praying for you that. Anyway. But here's the reality that if we're going to make some small changes that are going to make big differences, not just in our world. Listen, if it's all about your world, let me introduce you to Jesus. Because you ain't met him yet. Or if you have, you don't know him very well. Because it was never about him. It was always about everybody else. And so that's how we're to be if we're going to be little Christ, little Christians, followers of him. We gotta look at it differently. But the reality is that he's called us to live that out, to be disciplined in the kind of things that make a difference for him. So there's so much more I want to talk about. See, let me just tell you, discipline is something that I struggle with. And when I really sit down and was messing with, working through this message and everything else, I'm thinking, man, I gotta stand up and tell people I'm disciplined. I hope none of them have been back to my office. As you go to my office, you realize it's a mess. It's just a mess. If you ever ride with me in my car, unless my wife just drove it last, it's a mess. That's just not important to me. I could care less what's on my, I know what's on my desk. If you ask me, I'll find it eventually. It's there. I know it is. But listen, you come in here, these rows of chairs are going to be straight. See, I am disciplined in something. Because it's not about what I want now, it's about what matters most. Because I want you to be able to come in here and go right to your seat and sit down and have a good, comfortable seat and be able to see where you need to be. See, people laugh about me and my craziness over making sure the chairs, there's little marks on the carpet, so I put them back exactly where they need to be. And if you see me, I walk through and bump them with my knee every so often, like hoping nobody sees it, you know, just to get them straight. But see, I do that because, you know what, that matters most to me. Because I don't want anybody to come in and say, man, they don't even care about their building, their chairs all over the place. It's a mess. You know, I care. You come back in my office, man, that's a whole other story. I don't care, but I'll clean off a chair for you to sit in and we'll talk. But if you come in here, this matters most to me. The fact that we talk about the gospel, where we preach it, and where people can come in lost and looking for any reason not to be here, not to come back. Man, I don't want a chair to be in the way. It's that important to me. So listen, for you, what is it that matters most to you? You got to make a decision. You see, that's where we've come down to. We've talked about one word, one thought, you know, one thing that's there, one statement. And now we're at a place where we got to make one decision. What is it that matters most, not what matters now? And that discipline has got to be there for you. You've got to make the decision what that discipline's going to be, because that's what's going to make the difference. What do you need to do now, though, that is going to help you with what matters most? If you're going to do something now and you're going to be focused on it, then let's make sure that it works towards what matters most. And what is that for you? Is your marriage what matters most? What's the discipline you got to do right now to make your marriage what it needs to be? Is it your relationship with God? What is it that you got to do right now to make sure that that relationship is what it needs to be? Maybe it's your health. If that matters most to you right now, hey, listen, it's important that we take care of the temple. I like keep adding on to mine, but we got to take care of it. So maybe it is your health, and you just need to do something right now to make a big difference. What is it for you? Listen, don't take that lightly. If you don't have your word and you don't have your statement and you don't have your thought and you don't have your scripture that goes with it, listen, you need to buckle down this week and pray and ask God to give it to you. If you really want to be focused on what matters most, then that's where that's going to take you. What's your discipline, though? What is it that's going to help you take care of what matters most? Let's pray. God, thank you for today. God, you know that I could go keep going. There's so much I want to say. God, I just want you to say it. I don't want to say it. God, in this room, there are so many people that I care so much about. So many relationships that I've had for a long time. There's some people in here I've just met just once or twice. But God, you've called me here to love every single person that walks in this door and to love this community. And God, that became so much more evident, and I was so much more reminded of it this week. So God, you know my desire, and you know what matters most to me. So I pray in these moments, God, that each person in this room just takes a moment to look at themselves, where they are with you. God, there's surely some people in the room that maybe they're not even sure if you exist. God, thank you for bringing them today. And my prayer is that they'll not see me and the excitement I have for you, God, but they'll just see you and the excitement that you have for them. That you are willing to give up everything for them. God, for those of us in the room that have never made a decision, for those that have never come to a place to acknowledge you, I pray in this moment that you would just be real to them. God, for those of us in the room who've known you for a long time and just have so much focused on the now instead of what's most important, God, I pray that you'll just help us to see it and to confess it and to give it over to you, God. God, it's easy to get focused in on the now, God. We got bills to pay. We got relationships that are strained. We've got people that we care about. We've got people that we care about that are sick, that are not doing well, God. And God, we want so much for right now for things to be different. So God, my prayer is that we'll just not be focused on just them being right now, but that we'll be focused on what is it that we can do that's most important that helps with that. God, some of our earthly relationships aren't working because we don't have our relationship with you right. Our marriages are struggling because we're a husband in one direction and a wife going in another direction, and we've just not focused in on you and what it is that you want for us. Some of us are struggling financially because we know what we want, but we've never once stopped to ask you what you want with our finances, how we can be more generous for you. So God, in this moment, God, it's quiet in here. But in this silence, God, may you just speak to our hearts. May you just show us what it is that you want for us. That God, that we won't walk out of here the same way we walked in, God, with the carrying the burdens that we've had. God, may we bring them to your feet. God, if that's just symbolically in our chair or symbolically here at the altar, wherever it is, God, it's not about where it happens. It's just about the fact that it does happen. That we give those things away to you and let you deal with them. God, this series has been about so many small things that can make such a big difference. So God, may we not be focused on a complete makeover, but may we just focus on what the one or two things that we see and know that you want most for us, and that we'll just make some small changes there to make a big difference in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. God, will you just have freedom in this place? Will you move in our hearts? Will you move and just show us what it is that you want for us, God? And we pray all of this in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.